gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. You're about to listen to Prophet Livingstone Olualola as he brings you the message of the gospel from the presence of God.
So this is the third part of my Church and I teaching series. Today we'll be looking at a subtopic, understanding the local assembly. Understanding the local assembly. Understanding the local assembly. Amen. The first thing I have here, the local assembly is a place of worship. Your local assembly is your place of worship. It's your place of worship. It is a place of worship. God is not for the church. Well, let me say this way. God is not made for the church. God is not even made. But the church is made for God. Is this okay? Yeah. God is not the church. God is the essence of the church, but the church is not the essence of God. Is this okay? Yeah. So the church exists for the Lord. The church exists for God. The church exists for the worship of God. The church exists for the worship of God. In fact, one of the cogent reasons for the birth of the church is that the Lord expects a kind of worship. And this kind of worship can only be given to Him by a kind of people. It is not every kind of people on earth that can worship God acceptably. The Lord expects and the Lord wants only worship. But only people can give only worship. Our people made holy by works? No. We were made holy by believing in the finished works of Jesus, by which we receive remission of sins, and we are justified of all things. And so the Bible calls us holy saints, holy saints, holy saints. We are only saints because we've been washed by the precious blood of Jesus, and we have been redeemed from sin, its guilt, its stain, its penalties, its power and its consequence. Hallelujah. Amen. We are saints. Holy saints of God. We are holy saints of God. Hallelujah. We are holy saints of God. Not by the works of ourselves, but by the finished works of Jesus. Glory to God. You know, some years ago, I was thinking about my life, and I was thinking how that if somebody sees me, now, if somebody can think that I've always been like this, I should be a bad boy. I know you were a good child. When you became born again, you became a better child. But in my case, no, it wasn't like that. Nah, I was a bad boy. Hallelujah. Yes, I wasn't good. I wasn't good. It's difficult for you to relate. So like, Pastor, how bad can you be? You know, you're only like this. Elaradima. By labor. Now we know what we do. That's the middle of that song. Hallelujah. But I was thinking about my life and I thought of how God washed me clean. I'm so different from my past. Like day and night. Don't you feel so? AJ cannot be me. She's always been a good girl. She was born in church, grew up in church, born in church, bred in church, buttered in church, grew up in church, you know. And she's continuing in church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. She don't become a deaconess in this church. Hallelujah. I was born in church and I did not grow up in church. Glory to God forever. But really, the Lord can take a vile sinner and wash them clean. And they will begin to feel innocent. They become innocent on the inside. Jesus! They become innocent on the inside. Guileless. Clean. White. Immaculate. On the inside. It has become difficult for them to think evil of somebody. It becomes difficult for them to toil with sin, to meddle with sin, because now they've been separated. It's the power of redemption. Amen. It's the power of redemption. In fact, one of the greatest signs of redemption is transformed life. It's transformed life. One of the greatest power of redemption that God can snatch someone from the jaws of hell, from wasting away instruments of unrighteousness, signs of the devil, God snatching them away and cleansing them by precious blood, making them holy, making them pure, making them righteous. And we are not faking it. We are not trying to be righteous. Hallelujah. We are not trying to be holy. It's our nature now. It's who we are by nature. Is this okay? So it's not that they gave us a new name and said you have to live now in alignment with this name. So we call you righteous. Now begin to do righteous things. No, that's not it. It's that we were given a nature that is righteousness. And that nature now began to produce in us and through us works of righteousness. That's why I said, in the spirit, we don't try, we yield. So we don't try to be righteous, we yield to the inner workings of the Holy Spirit, unto righteousness, unto holiness, unto purity. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. There are certain persons that find submission difficult. They say, I'm really trying to submit to this man, husband of mine. You know, but this is not just easy. If they hear the voice of God, if they stop trying, yield to me. Just do what I tell you. Don't try to submit to your husband. Yield to me. Submission will come natural. Just do what I say. Follow the flow of life in your inner man. Is this where? We can never please God by the works of the flesh. And we cannot also please God by the strength of man. So that is by strength that no man prevails. The church is a place of worship. It's a place where we gather unto the worship of God. Our souls are made for the worship of God. Is it okay? Let me tell you something. Every single person on earth is a worshiper. Should I say that again? Every single person on earth is a worshiper. Some are worshippers of God, the true living God. Some are worshippers of idols. Some are worshippers of spirits. Some are worshippers of the moon, the sun. Some are worshippers of created things. Some are worshippers of money. Some are worshippers of themselves. They are their own God. The Bible talks about certain persons whose God is their belly. Is this okay? But everybody is a worshipper. Hallelujah. But the church is a place where the Lord can find the kind of worshippers that He wants. And what kind of worshippers does God want? True worshippers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But now is the time. Hallelujah. But the time is coming, beg your pardon. The time is coming and now is. Hallelujah. That the true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh thoughts to worship Him. And verse 24. For God is a spirit. And they that will worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? To worship God in spirit first means to be born again. To worship God in truth is to be worship God as He has said in His word, as He wants to worship. Amen. So it means that I understand that there is a symbol of cross in Christian faith. But if I now go and construct a big cross and I put it in my house and I want to be bind to it, and I say, all hail the Lord Jesus. So every day I did it 7 times when I want to go out in the morning. All hail the Lord Jesus, the one who hung on the crucifix. You know, hail Son of Mary. And I say, as I'm going out today, bless me. In thy holy name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Is that how the Lord wants to be worshipped? No. The Bible says the true worshipper is that God wants to worship him. They should worship him in spirit and in truth. And I said, to worship him in spirit means to be born again. Born of the spirit. To worship him in truth means to worship him according to the word. To worship him according to the word. So the depiction that I just gave is not how the Lord wants to be worshipped according to what he wrote in the word. Is this okay? Our soul is made for worship. Our soul is made for worship. And in the church, souls gather to worship the Lord. What does it mean to worship God? To exalt him, to exalt him, to give him the reverence that is due to his name. Is this okay? To worship him, to praise him, to adore him, to sing of his goodness, to remember his kindness, to remember his faithfulness, to worship his majesty, to exalt his almightiness, because God is great in the midst of his people. So when we come to a place of worship, we should come to worship God. Let me ask you, how many of you are here who are worship moments as one of your best times in church? Worship moments, like the time of singing and praising, as one of the best times in church. Why so? Because our soul is made. There's something in us that wants to connect to here. She said it's sweet. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something in us. There is something in us. Our soul is made to connect with God in true worship, in the spirit and in truth. And when we come to church, it's a place where we all gather together and worship God as a family. As a family of Christian faith with singular understanding or a united understanding. Are you following me? Of God. So it's not that some of us, you know, imagine that all of us are gathered here and some of us believe in Allah, and some of us believe in Jesus, and some of us believe in Songo. We're like, let us just sing unto the Lord, and everybody, you know, that's not church. That may be something else. Is this okay? It doesn't mean we can't have people that are not born again in church, but they are trying to paint a hair. Those that are not born again, after a while, they should become born again or be uncomfortable with us and leave. If what we are doing is of the Spirit. Is this clear? It's either they become born again, or with time they become uncomfortable with us and leave. I said, Kai, I can't survive yet. These guys, they're talking my demons. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The second thing, the first one I said, the church is a place of worship. The second one, the church is a place of evangelistic outreach. Right? Or evangelism. It's a place, it's a center. The church is a center. I like that word. The church is a center for evangelistic outreaches. So evangelistic trust, evangelistic outreach. Jesus gave many post-resurrection instructions. Alright? Amen. Jesus gave many what? Brought them Alpha. Are we there again? God is your friend. Jesus gave many post-resurrection instructions. Two of the instructions, right? One is in Mark, one is in Matthew. Mark chapter 16, right, from verse 15. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And verse 16, he that baptized, he that believes and is baptized, shall be saved, and he that does not believe shall be damned. And these signs, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. And if you drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. And when Jesus said all of these things, the Bible says he was taken out of their sight. And then the disciples went everywhere preaching the gospel. And the Holy Spirit was walking with them, confirming their words with signs and wonders following. Is this okay? The church exists for preaching of the gospel. What is evangelistic outreach? Evangelistic outreach is the actions of the corporate church local assemblies to bring those who have not known the Lord to come to know the Lord. Is this fair? Any church that does not have an evangelistic trust will die with time. Any church that does not get involved in evangelism will die with time. When I say die, the church is soon closed off. Soon enough, we'll come to that church and the door is closed. Nobody comes to church anymore. Amen. So evangelism is not just so, it's not just so that church can be built, it's so that church can stay alive. Amen. Let me say this. Mission is the mission of God. Mission is the mission of God. So any church that does not get involved in mission, conscious, intentional outreach to save the soul of men and get them born again, any church that does not get involved in intentional outreach is not in full alignment with the will of the Lord. So what does that mean to you? Church is a place where you are trained to get involved in evangelistic action, in the gathering of the saints. There are certain persons that when they got born again, they could not preach Christ on their own, but we paired them to someone that can preach Christ. And then going out in evangelism, they preach Christ. If the person saw the other person preaching Christ, and then maybe after 2 or 3 weeks, they say, okay, we need to try today. And then the guy said, can I talk to you about Jesus? You know, Jesus, he loves you. He tried, but he ended up doing it. The person did not give his life to Christ, and he started feeling, maybe I'm not that much here anyway. And then the other person said, don't worry. Our responsibility is not to save them, it's to preach to them. God gets them saved. Amen. So, the church is a place where you are trained to become evangelistic. Hallelujah. Is this clear? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 18. The Bible speaking there, say God has reconciled us to Christ. Right? God has reconciled. Please read for us. All things are of God who has reconciled us to Christ. Who has reconciled us to himself by Christ. Thank you.
And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To which
that God was in Christ.
That God was in Christ. Reconciling
the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And had committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
God bless you. God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins unto them, and he had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It is in the church that you are taught to become a part of the workforce of reconciliation. So, the kingdom of God has a reconciliatory workforce. Can we say reconciliatory workforce? Yes. Again, reconciliatory workforce. Another word for this, or another phrase for this reconciliatory workforce is peacemaker's army. People, what does it mean to reconcile? To make peace with two parties that are at loggerheads. So the world is in loggerhead with God. God is not in loggerhead with them. Hallelujah. Because God didn't leave them, they left God. So God has given to us an assignment that is reconciliatory in nature. He has given us the assignment, the ministry of reconciliation, and he has given us the word of reconciliation. Now it is when you come to church that you are trained in the word of reconciliation, so that you can become energized, equipped, fast enough to be able to make a reasonable claim and persuasion and stopping the finished works of Christ. Is this clear? Recently, I've been reading the book of Acts, And there are two sermons that stood out for me. If you like to read your Bible, let me give you a Bible assignment. The Sermon of Stephen in Acts of the Apostles chapter 7. And the Sermon of Paul in Acts chapter 13. I mean, those are classic sermons. Jesus. Amen. Please write it down. Write down those two scriptures, those two chapters, and read them. Acts chapter 7, the Sermon of Stephen, and Acts chapter 13, the Sermon of Paul. Classic sermon. As I read those scriptures recently, I felt like these guys know what they are saying. Man! 13. Acts 7 and Acts chapter 13. All of them took, they took the discourse. Yeah, if you read it, if that Stephen owned, you know, my God, Stephen is taught. That guy was so taught. He knows what he was about. He picked the preaching from the call of Abraham. Yes, he started his message from the call of Abraham. How God called Abraham. And then how God asked him to leave his family. And how the call actually also related to his father, Terran. You know, and then he continued. He continued into the days of judges, into the days of prophets, to present time, to the time that Jesus was born, and how that prophets prophesied about Jesus, and Jesus came as a fulfillment of prophecy, and how that you people, just as the prophet had said, you kill Jesus. In fact, that's when they got angry. And then they said, this Jesus that you guys see, God raised him back to life. And he made him both Lord and Christ. And said, this one, you have to die for this one, guys. Because they don't want to hear anything that has to do with resurrection from the dead. And then the stone fell, and then he died. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the case of Paul, so in Acts 15, Paul also picked it. He picked it from the days of Moses. Right? How that God raised for you guys. He was talking to the Jews. Right? So he picked it from the days of Moses, and how that from the days of Moses, through Joshua, God began raising judges for you guys. And judges led you guys for 450 years. In my mind, I'm like, so Paul calculated this thing. Yes. In the words of Paul, he said, you guys were led by judges for 450 years. Judges were ruling you until Samuel came. So Samuel was the transition between judges and kings. So he said, but after the days of Samuel, the people asked for a king. Then God gave you guys Saul. But after a while, God rejected him. And then God found himself David, of whom he said, I have found David, a man after my heart, who will do according to my will. And the Lord made a covenant with David that he is going to raise a son from his loins. And from his loins has come Jesus Christ. And this Jesus Christ, just as the prophet has said, when he came, you guys did not recognize him. However, John came before him. And John preached that there is one coming after him, whose slashes of his shoes he could not lose. Hallelujah. Are you following me? And John said, I am not the one that is to come. There is one coming that is greater than I. I have come to prepare the way for this one that is coming. But you people did not discern him. You couldn't tell that he was the one. And then you killed him. But after killing him, God raised him back to life the third day. Right? It was in that context that he now said, David indeed served God in his own generation and he died. For he saw corruption. But God now raised David's seed from the dead, so that he will not see corruption. Because he that's risen from the dead will not see corruption. I say, my God, still preaching. I'm going to give my life to Christ. You know, again. When I saw that, my God, my hallelujah. If you are studious, it will show when you preach. If you are studious, it will show when you preach. It is so. I mean, Paul was scholastic anyway. So, you know, Paul was an equivalent of 2 PhDs. Yes, more than the 2 PhDs. His scholarly strength, he was an equivalent of 2 PhDs. And so we shouldn't express less. So we should not expect less from such scholar of the law. Oh my God. Glory to God. The church is the place where we are taught to be able to reconcile the word to God. Because we learn the word of God and we are able to bring an intelligible witness. Is this okay? Many people pay attention to witness of power, but not witness of intelligence. They just want God to prove it by power. Let me tell you, the second person that will get healed, they want to give their life to Christ. Even after proving to them through healing that God can save, they want to give their life to Christ. They need an intelligent conversation. Is this okay? They need an intelligent conversation that will make them that, oh, actually, I think what you're saying actually makes sense. Oh, I think it makes sense. Actually, you know, I didn't believe you until you said, amen. The scripture or the gospel of Christ is designed to be persuasive. Is this okay? The gospel of Christ is designed to be what? Persuasive. To be persuasive means it has the capacity to persuade people. But let me tell you, the persons or preachers or witnesses who have the capacity to release the persuasive strength of the gospel are those that are studious. Is this clear? If you are not studious, it will be difficult for you to persuade one with the gospel. Aside from that is intelligent. If people are daft, it's easy to get them saved. Just hope they are not demonized. because if they are demonized, prayers anyway. Divide their demons through prayers and still help them get saved. But people that are very intelligent, you'll have to go through, you have to enter their heart through the gate of their mind. Is this clear? The next one, local assembly. Local assembly is the center of discipleship. Discipleship, teaching, and spiritual training. The local assembly is the center of discipleship, teaching, and spiritual training. So I said, the post-resurrection instructions of Jesus, there were two strong instructions he gave amongst all. Every instruction was strong, but two amongst others, right? One, he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, like I read to you in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Now the second one is Matthew chapter 28, from verse 19. Hallelujah. Where it says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Teaching them. Actually, it began by saying, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. So church is the center of discipleship. Why do you need to be a part of a local assembly? You need to be a part of a local assembly so that you can be discipled. Amen. What does it mean to be discipled? To be discipled means to be indoctrinated. Someone say indoctrinated. Another word or another phrase for indoctrination is enculturation. These are not big grammar, huh? They're just basic English. Right? It means to be enculturated. To be enculturated means to be immersed into a culture. To be indoctrinated means to be immersed into a doctrine. So it means the church has a culture that you need to learn. The church has its doctrine. You can't just come to church and say, actually, where I'm coming from, I brought my doctrine. Well, if you're not willing to learn the doctrine of Christ, you can instead go back to where you are coming from. Is this fair? But as long as this is church, the doctrine is already laid down. Is this okay? The Bible says in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, and they gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine continually. They gave themselves continually to the apostles' doctrine. The church is the place where the apostles' doctrines are taught, where people give themselves continually to the apostles' doctrine. What is the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' doctrine is the doctrine of Christ. The same thing that Christ taught and handed over to the apostles is what became the apostles' doctrine. And what is the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' doctrine is the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the life, the life, the death, thank you, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, and its implications on mankind. Is this okay? Amen. The doctrine of Christ involves how to live, how to talk. Because the doctrine of Christ speaks into all of these things. Now that you're born again, you don't talk loosely again. Just speak into this place. Colossians chapter 4 verse 6. Let the words be great, seasoned with thought, that you will know how to answer one another. The doctrine of Christ speaks into that. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. It speaks into how to dress. Let your dressing or let your appearance not be of the outward beauty of braided hair and articles of gold and all of that, but let it be of the quiet spirit, hallelujah, of the inner man. He gave instructions on dressing. He gave instructions on how to talk. He gave instructions on how to do family life. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Wife, submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ. He speaks into how to train your children. Hallelujah. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And then he says, children, honor your father and your mother in the Lord, that your days may be long. Hallelujah. So the doctrine of Christ speaks into every area of our life. It speaks into everything that we do. So this is to say, we come to church to learn how to live the Christian faith. We come to church to learn how to live the Christian life. We come to church to learn how to live the kingdom life. Nobody just gets born again and immediately knows how to be a Christian. You need to be taught how to be a Christian. Is this okay? You've been a Muslim all your life, sorry. Some of you. Hallelujah. Okay, don't be shy. Is there anyone here that's been a traditionalist all your life? Don't be born again. Anybody? You've been a traditionalist all your life? You're a worshiper of Irumale or something like that. Nobody? Did you say all eyes closed to get the person inside? Amen. Lord, we receive them. Yes. We receive the salvation of idol worshippers. And we receive them to be disciples in this camp. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's nothing to be shy about it though. All things are passed away. Passed away. God does not remember. It's just that I say, bro. If you signify, then after me, you say, bro, hey, yeah, that's the way you talk for God. I fear you. He said, no, that's before, oh God. You still don't finish like that. Amen. This is to say, not everybody can handle people's truth, even in church. Yeah. Not everybody can handle your truth, even in church. Not everybody can handle your truth. Somebody may be leading worship and people are getting blessed. But she wanted that to share her testimony and she mentioned the fact that she was a divorcee. And suddenly, she said, I didn't even know that woman is like that. That one is like what? So I'm saying, it's not everybody that has the maturity to handle your story. Glory to God forever. Church is a place of training. Church is a place. There's something about spiritual home training. Church is the place where they give you spiritual home training. They teach you how to honor people, how to honor pastors, how to honor servants of God, because God holds them in high esteem. How to relate to the anointed. Isn't church that you learn things like that? Isn't church that you learn things like that? In church, you learn how to behave. How to behave. Amen. The Lord is good. All the time. The next one, church is the center of fellowship. Did I give a scripture for the one we just finished reading? Matthew 28, verse 19. The other scripture for that, Galatians 3, verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. That's what we do in church. We teach one another. We admonish one another. That's what we do when we gather in church. And admonishing one another. Amen. You know why we are learning this thing? In case one day you wake up on Sunday morning and the devil says, don't go to church today, what's the church about? Amen. You can say, I'm going to go and hear the word of God. I'm going to receive teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to worship God. Church is the place. Can't you worship God at home? Watch Pastor on YouTube now. Say no. Church. Glory to Jesus. The Lord is good. And let me just say this. You can never have the same feel gathering in church with the brethren as you will have if you meet on air. Is it okay? I believe from you that God uses media to bless people. Of course, we are media also. But you can never have the same experience that God expects you to have when we come together. I mean, Pastor is never seeing your face. There's no pastor will see your face. A pastor will say, see me after service. God did not say to see you, just saw your face and say, child, something did wrong. See me after service. But now, nobody can say, see me after service from YouTube. Amen. I said the pastor is highly prophetic. But he's speaking, he just paused. He said, "Am I said that you are watching me online. Right? Come to my house tomorrow." The arm may first freeze first. I said, What? Hallelujah. And Pastor can remember some of the aunt's name and her son's name and where she lives. And said, see me in church. Yes, see me in church tomorrow. Glory to God forever. Church is a place of fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. That scripture I read earlier. The Bible says they gave themselves continually to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship. To fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Hallelujah. What is fellowship? Does anybody want to give you the trust? They gave themselves to fellowship. What fellowship? Joint communion. Thank you. That's a good shot. Sharing. Sharing was Zobo. Sharing the truth. Okay. Any other person? Okay. Fellow comes together in the seat. Okay. Or men's fellowship, women's fellowship. Uh-huh. Because that's menship, womanship. Hallelujah. But really, fellowship speaks into gathering together for the purpose of strengthening one another. That's what fellowship is. Gathering together for the purpose, write down please. Fellowship, gathering together for the purpose of strengthening one another. Fellowship is gathering together for the purpose of strengthening one another. So when you say, I'm going to church for fellowship, in other words, I'm going to church to be strengthened by my brethren. And to strengthen my brethren. Do you know there's a high possibility that throughout the service, whatever the pastor said did not bless you? But as you're going on, brother James stopped you by the gate. I said, Alpha, have you been a long time? What's happening? I want to talk to you. And he started talking. You have to say the burden of your heart, and Brother James was able to bring help. And that's why you came to church. That's why God led it. I mean, he was the one that carried the blessing that you needed on that service day. It's fellowship. The strengthening together. The strengthening that you share. The strengthening that you give one another when we come together. Fellowship. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering or the assembling together of one another. Do not forsake the assembling together. That's fellowship. Don't forsake the assembling together of one another. So why are you going to church? I'm going to church for fellowship. Fellowship, 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 fellowship. Amen. You know, in school of ministry, we learned that the church gets warmth by fellowship. There is warmth when we fellowship. When we fellowship. And fellowship is not just pupil to pew, it's heart to heart. If everything about church life is pupil to pew and there is no heart to heart happening with brethren, in units, in places, pastors and certain persons that want to speak to him, and brethren talking to their unit leaders, and friends having conversations, and they got Alpha, that laptop will you don't buy, All of these things are part of the fellowship. The money never comes to. Let's agree. In the name of Jesus. Lord, this week. It's fellowship. All of these things are the things that should happen in church. Is this okay? Now let me help you. Let me even ask here. Let's ask a general question. How many of you here exercise reaching out to your brethren for prayer of agreement? Over things. 1, 2, 3, 4. That is good. Hallelujah. It's important. It's part of the thing for which church exists. Enter into someone's DM and say, can you agree with me over this? I need this before we end. But my faith is doing K-leg. I just need someone to agree with me in faith. Amen. Yes. I just need someone to agree with me in faith so that we can believe together for this. It is something that you should enjoy. The Bible says, whatever two or three of you agree concerning a thing, it shall be done unto you by my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. Is this clear? This is one of the reasons for which church exists, fellowship. Amen. Let me ask you another question. How many of us come to church and we are just happy because we see our brethren? He's supposed to give us joy. That guy up for now. You know. Nothing to say over. I just see you. Now, we are supposed to delight in one another. We are family. We are brethren. Amen. So that when we don't see you, say, you didn't come to church. Is everything okay? So imagine somebody did not come to church, but there are 5 person calls in the same night. I wish they have this church, they love. Oh. They want you to see me. They want to choke me. that church wants you to choke me. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. But fellowship will be lacking in a church where someone does not come and nobody reaches out. It shows that there is no fellowship. People didn't even miss that they didn't come. Is this okay? Yes. But you know, someone does not have to be in a unit for us not to know that they didn't come. Because that's the excuse of many, many big churches. If he was in a unit, his unit member would have tracked that he didn't come. Is this okay? But what about before he joins the unit? Because he's not, somebody cannot just come to church and join the unit tomorrow now. Maybe the guy will sit down first, hear everything with a teeth. Amen. For real, that's the order. Is to get used to the house to know if he really wants to serve in the house. You know what I'm trying to say? It should get you to the message of the house and to the church. Does he really want to stay in that? Because I found out that dragging people into unit will not make them stay if they don't want to stay. Amen. So dragging people, somebody just talk to them and then they say, which unit do you want to stay? They won't stay if they don't want to stay. It's not unit that makes them stay. Hallelujah. When I was in university, there was something I learned. Right, I was fellowship leader in school, and then I learned that people don't always become responsible by giving them positions of responsibility. You get what I just said? People don't always become responsible by giving them positions of responsibility. So I'm trying to say, somebody will not necessarily become prayerful because you made him prayer coach. You are playing. You get prayer calls so that does not like prayers. You are just playing, sir. And I will believe that the ordination came with a grace. Yeah. If the guy doesn't like prayer, the confirmation of the assignment of prayer coordinator will not make him prayerful. The guy can even come and be asking for us. Enter the old man, Ragabaya. Because you know that once I do that, they will think I have fire. I'm telling you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm saying church exists for fellowship. And one of the strengths of fellowship is that we delight in one another. We love to see one another. We rejoice in one another. Is this okay? We rejoice in one another. I'm happy about you. Not just when you've got a contract. Seeing you, I'm happy. You know, people know how to be happy for people, but not happy about people. Is this okay? Is it okay? Should I say that again? People know how to be happy for people. Like, I'm happy for you. No, we don't marry. Don't divorce now. But they didn't know how to be happy about people. That's what I spoke earlier. Or that's what I was speaking earlier when I spoke about delighting in your brethren. Delighting in your brethren is you're happy about them. Not just for them. Seeing you gives me joy. I'm happy to see you. Hallelujah. This thing I'm saying, it can be learned. You can learn how to delight in people. You can learn how to rejoice in people. The Bible says, do not rejoice over us. We're singing. If we're like our Father, we learn how to rejoice over our brethren. We learn to rejoice. When you remember your brethren, you are happy. You know, when you remember someone, you are just angry. You know, when you remember someone, you're just frowning. Hallelujah. When there is offense ruins fellowship. Offense, it kills fellowship. In fact, envy kills fellowship. Envy is a weapon of darkness that the enemy uses against fellowship. It destroys fellowship because of envy. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. I was reading the scripture earlier, and the Bible says, Paul went to preach in a place, and there was a massive, massive acceptance of his message. And the Jews became envious. We that were even the leaders of this synagogue, people know they gather like this. Men are sonar. You know? And they gathered bad guys, and then they threw them out of the city, and they thought that empty will make you dark on the inside. Empty will make people dark. Is it okay? Never be envious about your brethren that are progressing. They are not the reason for where you are. And where you are is not bad. Where you are is only bad and small when you compare it with others. You know, like to say, what God is doing with you becomes small only when you compare it with what He's doing with others. But as long as God is in a thing, it's a big thing. You wanted to say something? You're raising your hand, or was it a question? How do we delight in our brethren? I think it begins with prayer. When you pray for people, right? When you pray for people, your heart begins to release a supply of the love of God towards them. You just love them from God's heart. Really, that's what it means to delight in your brethren. You love them from the heart of God. You see them as God sees them. You get what I'm saying? You place on them the honor that God has placed on them. You see them from the eyes of God. And seeing them from the eyes of God makes you rejoice. They are not there yet, but you are happy at their becoming. You are rejoicing in their progress. You get what I'm saying? Amen. You are happy about them. It's just like, good. The same way you are delighting in your baby. Your brethren are the same way your brethren from the eyes of God. So you already get the message. So the same way a mother would give birth to a child, and before the child makes him proud, she's already proud of the child. Before the child does anything for which you say, Kai, I'm so happy with this thing you did for me. In fact, you are the one doing everything for this child. Yes, you are so happy and you are delighting in the child. Amen. Baby be thinking, man, God be checking her and be. And I say, what is this? He said, I'm not happy. That's how we should be doing for our brethren. Hallelujah. I said, but they are adults. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Declare me, I delight in my brethren. I love them from God's heart. Ferociously. I love people. I love people very well. Very much, very much, very well. You know, certain persons, I love them, but they don't just feel loved. Love them well, they will feel loved. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. The next word, the church is a place of ministry. Lord, help us to speed up. The church is a place of ministry. This means the church is a place where we minister to one another. If you write Romans chapter 12,
from verse 6 to 9. The church is a place where we minister to one another. That Romans chapter 12 from verse 6, the Bible spoke there. He said, we all having differing gifts according to the proportion of grace that we have received. We all have different gifts according to proportions of grace that God has given us. Let him that has the gift of prophecy prophesy according to his own proportion of faith. He that has the gift of ministering, let him minister. Right? Let him minister. Hallelujah. The intention of God is that we should minister to one another. Amen. When you come to church, after a while, in a local assembly that you belong to, you should also minister to your brethren. You should be able to lead prayer. Amen. Yes, you should be able to lead prayer. Because now, what does it take to lead prayer? Two things, right? Understanding of the will of God, because that's where we pray from. And two, having a fellowship with God yourself. Because you can't lead us in prayer unto a God that you don't even know. That you not say, can we pray? I'm not really sure if God wants to do this, but let us try and ask him, just in case he's willing. Amen. We will not even blame him. Blame the person that gave you mic. Yes, because you gave someone that you have not trained the microphone. Is this fair? Yes, after a while, you should be able to lead prayer. You should be able to lead one thing or the other in church. You should be able to bring ministry to your brother. We should be able to call you out of the blues and say, just exhort us 15 minutes. And they say, ha, Pastor, you should be excited that finally my time has come. Hallelujah today. Hallelujah today. I thank my man of God for this rare privilege. It's something I've prayed for. Shall we open? Hallelujah. But really, it should be something that you are prepared, because you are growing. Glory to God. But really, if you have a walk with God, you will always have something to share. Isn't God talking to you? Just come and tell us all the things he has told you. God bless you. If you have a walk with God, you will always have something to share. You will always have something to share if you have a walk with God. I mean, share with us something you found in the Bible. In the course of teaching today, I've shared with you certain things I recently found in the scripture. So if you have a Bible reading life and you have a walk with God, you will always have something to share that ministers to your brethren. The Bible says in Acts 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. It means at a phase of growth, everyone is supposed to be able to teach at a measure. Even if you are not called as a teacher. Hallelujah. Glory to God. At a phase of growth, everyone is supposed to be able to teach, even if they are not called as teachers. How? When the word of God dwells in you richly. From the abundance of that soul, you minister to us. We'll be so blessed. Richly blessed. Hallelujah. And of course, ministry also includes using your gifts to minister to the brethren. Right? Finding your area of gifts and using it to minister to the brethren. Using it to serve. And that word for ministry is service. We are here to serve one another. Hallelujah. I'm sure you know preaching and teaching is service. Yes, that's what it is. Preaching and teaching is service. Even pastors that are paid, they cannot pay them for the things of eternal life that they give. As soon as they give the gift from their heart, they can't be paid. They cannot be paid. How much you want to give them that quantify for eternal things that they give? Or how much you want to pay for someone that got healed while the pastor was preaching? You get what I'm trying to say? How much you want to pay? But let's have one another. Let none of us be too proud to serve. Right? Let's never get to that point where there's something you are bigger than. There's something you can't do. You can't sleep. It is before that I used to sleep in church. Amen. Never get to that place where there's nothing you cannot do. Late last year, I was under the administration of the PFN chairman of the state PFN chairman, Reverend Dr. Reverend Gomwok, not Reverend Doctor, Reverend Gomwok. And Reverend Gomwok was saying that certain times he would just sneak into the church and just go and wash the toilet. He's certain chairman of this state, right? The senior pastor of this church. The certain time, he will just sneak into the toilet and just go and wash the church. Just go and wash the toilet. He said he will sneak in because if people see him, they won't allow him to do it. But just in case anybody sees him, it will be a time that he can overpower them and say, don't worry, it is me. It's just maybe one or two persons in church, I'm trying to say, not when there is a crowd and they say, ah, pastor. You know what I'm trying to say? He said, why does he do that? He said, I want to remind myself that God has called me to serve these people. So I always do that to bring me to a place of mental consciousness that I am their servant. And that's what qualifies me to lead them. Should I say that again? What qualifies you to lead God's people is that you are their what? Servant. Jesus said, he that should be the greatest amongst you must serve. So we should never be too big that we cannot serve. That's why I with joy jump on the drums when there is nobody to play. Jump on the keyboard. Is it clear? It should not be something that you are too big to do. Hallelujah. The church is a place of service. This also means find a way to serve in church. Serving is, let me tell you, one thing the service does is that there is a sense of fulfillment that turns on in you when you're able to serve God and His people. Is it clear? There's an inner fulfillment that you have. I don't know how to describe it as it were, but it is something personalized that if you have it, you will know. There's a sense of inner fulfillment that turns on, an inner joy that you have on the account of the fact that you found a privilege to serve God and to serve God's people. And to serve God's people. And let me say this, service is a privilege. Is this clear? Service is what? A privilege. No matter the position of service, leadership position or subordinate position, service is a privilege. It's something we must hold in honor and esteem. Now we are not here because we are the best. So you may be the worship leader, but you are not the worship leader because you are the best. You may be a pastor or an assistant pastor, but you are not a pastor or an assistant pastor because you are the best. You are a pastor because God chose you by election of grace. And it's a privilege. Is this okay? A privilege that should be stewarded with utmost fear of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The next one, it is a place of welfare. The church is a place of welfare. The church is a place of welfare. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 43 and 44. Can someone help me read? Acts chapter 2 verse 43 and verse 44. Acts chapter 2 verse 43, yes.
And fear came upon every soul.
Please move to 44.
And all that believed were together.
Now look at this. Everyone that believed, everyone that got born again were together.
And had all things common.
And had all things in common.
And sold their possessions.
And they sold their possessions.
And goods.
And goods.
And parted them to all men.
Parted them to all men.
As every man had need.
As every man had need. Thank you. The church is a place of welfare. Amen. The church is what? What does welfare mean? In simple letters, welfare means care for the body. Is that okay? That's clear enough, right? Welfare means what? Care for the body. It includes food supply. It includes clothing. It includes where to live, accommodation. It includes health care, health benefits. Amen. Welfare. Now the Bible says many parted ways with the things that they had just so that others can have. That church is a place of welfare. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you see, certain persons come to church just for welfare. They come to church because they are hungry. That church they share food every Sunday. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. Welfare is not the primary reason of the church. No, it's not. It's not part of the instructions that the Lord even gave when He was instituting the church as it were by Himself. It is something good that we should do. Is this okay?
Yes.
But there is no instruction as to, I am building my church to become a welfare center. Because we don't need the Holy Ghost to be a welfare center. We need money. We need money and a good heart to operate a welfare center. You get what I'm saying? We don't need the Holy Ghost to be a welfare center, as it were. But the church also cares for the needs of the members, so that those who don't have homes can be connected to those who have homes, or be connected to those who can pay for their homes. I heard of a church, I won't call the name of the church, but I know the name of the church and the woman of God who did it. So Zavin passed one day in Abuja, and then she passed a shed, right? A shed, like a house made with something like wood or cement bag, something like that. And then she saw a woman and two children in front of the house. And then she saw two children in front of the house, and then she did, she desired, not desired, she saw that, ah, these guys, they look at me like some church recently. So she came down from the car and then checked, and then she saw one of her church members living in the house. And then she was like, is this where you live? The woman said, yes. This is where you live. The woman said, yes. This is where you live. She said, it's okay, no problem. So they got to church the next day. And the woman announced in church that there is a woman here. I'm not going to mention the name of the woman to cover her. You know, and then I saw her this. So we want to take a donation. And my God, there was a good donation. Very, very generous donation. It's a rich church, actually. What I mean a rich church is an established church, and God has blessed the members, highly placed people in Abuja City, right? So a lot of money gathered. I see there were placed on scholarships right there. She got a house right there. Like, she didn't have to be thinking. Everything was solid. And that's part of the thing that church is for. So if you walk into and say, I'm hungry, do you have food for me? And they say, sit down, let's finish message. I say, I came here for food, not for message. Amen. Church is not a refugee center. It's a place of worship. If you're not interested in our Jesus, you should be interested in our food. It doesn't mean we won't give food to people that are not born again. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, to come to church just because of food, and you don't have any business, we don't care about your message, it's just the food we need. No. You are insulting the church. We are more than that. Is this okay? We have the capacity to help you way more than that. Now, God has given the church the ability to help people, spirit, soul, and body. We have what it takes to help people's spirit, their souls, and their bodies. We get their spirit renewed by the declaration of the gospel. Amen. We get their souls saved by teaching them. We get their bodies healed by the anointing of the Spirit. Even those whose boyfriend left them, we mend their broken heart by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 19. Amen. So no matter the need, the church is equipped to meet it. So the church is a place where needs are met. Can I say this again? The church is a place where needs are met. This is to say, if you belong to a part of a local assembly, you must believe God to be able to meet your needs through your local church. Should I say that again? Believe God to be able to meet your needs through your local church. You need direction. The church is a place where to get it. You need instruction. The church is a place where to get it. Let me also add. You need connection. The church is a place where to get it. If it is a connection that you need, somehow, there is someone that has someone's phone number. Or someone that has someone that has someone's phone number. I'm trying to say, God places us in families that have what we need. You know, I said that to us a few weeks ago. I think it was last week. That the first family that has placed you is so, God has captured into that everything you will need. And he sends you to a family that can meet it. So that you don't have to be visiting from church to church to church for your need to be met.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you this. You can go to the church where there are high-class guys, but you don't have high-class connection. And go to the church God has ordained you, but it doesn't feel like there are high-class guys there, and that's the place from where you get your high-class connection. Because your allocation is in the location that God has placed you. We don't give God the directions of blessings or the address for blessings. God gives us the address for blessings. God gives us the address for blessings. We don't choose the address of the blessing. I say, Lord, meet me at Lekki Hotel and bless me there. That's why I'm holding the meeting, Jesus. Send your angels ahead of me. Just well done. We greet you, Commander of God. Amen. The next one, two more. The church is a place of prayer. Mark chapter 11, verse 17. Jesus speaking there, he says, the desire of God is that it shall be said of all nations that the church is the house of prayer. Now, but Isaiah's rendition says, the church is the house of prayer for all nations. But Jesus said, it shall be said of all nations that this place is the house of prayer. Is it okay? Isaiah said it as a house of prayer for all nations. But when Jesus quoted it, Jesus said, it shall be said of all nations that this place is the house of prayer. Back on the same thing. The church is a house of prayers that is ordained to pray for all nations. Is this clear? You know, there are certain things in the Bible that seems like, hallelujah. I was listening to a dear man of God recently, yesterday or 2 days ago, and the dear man of God said, somebody saw something in the Bible, and then because of that, he said, the scripture is not correct, and he left his faith. And guess what he saw? He read one of the Gospels that says, as Jesus was entering into Jericho, blind Bartimaeus was crying out to him, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And another rendition of the Gospel says, as Jesus was leaving Jericho, blind Bartimaeus says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So when he read it and he saw the difference, he said, Kai, this Bible must be false. This Bible must be false. And then guess what the person preaching said? He said, it is easy. Black Bartimaeus was passing from the time Jesus entered to the time he was leaving. He said, Black Bartimaeus was passing from the time Jesus entered up to the time that Jesus was leaving Jericho. And I said, my God, may God give us eyes that see. In the name of Jesus. So when you have eyes that see, you will know that the scripture is balanced. Glory to God forever. When it comes to church, come to pray. Right? Be excited that we'll pray in church today. And I'll take every prayer serious. Every prayer session serious. Because prayer is the place where things are changed. You get what I'm saying? Prayer is a crucible. It's a crucible where energy is released. That changes things. Prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Now let me repeat what I just said. Prayer through faith in Jesus changes things. Because Jesus changes things. So the one who really changes things is Jesus. So our faith is not in prayer. Our faith is in Jesus. Is this okay? But church is the place where we pray. The Bible says they took Peter and John and they flogged them and they told them never preach in this name again. And they returned to their people, to their company. And the Bible says they prayed and the whole place began to shake. And the fear of the Lord filled them afresh, and they received boldness to declare the word of the Lord. That's church. That is the place that when you have been flogged, you come to. And you come and pray. By flogged, I mean sometimes life messes us up. Sometimes, like life messes you up, come to church, come and pray, shake off the dust. If you are persecuted on the account of preaching the gospel, come to church, strengthen your faith, pray, shake off the dust. Hallelujah. The last one, it's a place of transfiguration. And let me say this before I move into the place of transfiguration. Church is a place of prayer. Don't be the person that every time we are praying in church, you are meditating. Why is your own order always different from everybody's order? Is this okay? Bro Sam, the Lord is your help. And he can help you right early. In Jesus' name. Don't be the person that when we are praying you are meditating. No, it's wrong. Don't meditate when we are praying. It's a corporate thing. Is it okay? When it's time to meditate, meditate. But when it's time to pray, the Bible says, in that Acts chapter 4 that I was quoting, where they took Peter and John and they flogged them. They went to their community.
They lifted one voice.
That's what the Bible says. So all of them were praying in unison with their voice lifted.
That's corporate prayer, and that's what took the building. So when church is praying, it's not time to meditate,
and it's not time to be WhatsApping. That's even dishonor to God. Amen. I mean, as a culture that you don't WhatsApp in church. Hallelujah. I mean, as a culture. Right? Let the reverence and honor of God be high in your heart. This is a time consecrated to God. Sir, what if there's a contract? What if there's a this? What if there's a that? The honor you place of God answers the question. If you honor God enough and trust Him enough that if it is your contract, it will wait. It is the honor of God that determines your response to that. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good all the time. So when it's time to pray, God, pray. 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 The Lord hears corporate prayer. The Lord hears corporate prayer. The Bible spoke about the glorified here. The times where we saw major signs. You know signs. Everyone that speaks about differences between signs and miracles. People work miracles. God does signs. Did I say that again? People work miracles. God does signs. They were praying and the whole building was shaking. That's a sign. That's not a miracle. Paul and Silas, they were singing and they were clapping, and the whole prison yard, or the whole people in the prison, they joined them. So it became a corporate worship. And the Bible says there was an earthquake. The prison door opened. That's not a miracle. That's a sign. Is this clear? The other time where we saw a sign in the scripture in the Old Testament, the Bible says they were worshiping God corporately, everybody. And the glory of God descended tangibly like a cloud that the priest could not stand to minister. These are signs. Is this okay? I'm trying to drive our hearts to a place of honor for corporate activities. So if we are praying corporately, is this okay? Be a part of it. Don't say, God, there's something God is doing. No, God on us order. There's something God is doing all of us now. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. Amen. So when we are praying, pray. And when they say, can we pray out loud? Pray out loud. It's culture. It's such culture. It's such home training. Is this okay? When they say, can we pray out loud? Let's pray out loud. We're doing it in honor of God. We're doing it in honor of the person leading the prayer. We're doing it in honor of the move of the Spirit. We're doing it honoring that the person that is speaking on behalf of God. As a representative of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. The Lord is good. Major things happen in corporate prayers. And church is a place of corporate prayer. Church is also a place of intercession. It's a place of intercession. It's a place where prayers are made for the nation. It's a place where prayers are made for the nation. Is a place where prayers are made for the nation. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So, this is the reason for which us have prayer meetings. Amen. You know, there was a time, and it's actually to us, it's because of the prayers we had in recent times, the 50-day prayers we added in the leadership and the workforce. That's the reason we didn't do last month. End of the month prayers. Amen. Resume by July. When we call for prayers, come and pray. Come and pray. Release energy into your destiny. Release the hand of God through prayer. It is by prayer that we release God's hand. It is by prayer that we release God's hand. It is by prayers that miracles are loose. Wonders are loose. We see major breakthroughs because of prayer. Because of prayer. And certain things, it's easy to enter certain things corporately than individually. Amen. It's easier, rather, to enter certain things corporately than personally and individually. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 2, the last one. The church is a center of transfiguration, a place of transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, 1 and 2, the Bible says Jesus took his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And in verse 2, he went to the mountain, right? He ascended and climbed up to the mountain, and he was transfigured before them. He was transfigured before them. Amen. Church is the place where we are transfigured. What does what transfigure mean? Change. Right? And that was a transfiguration, is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is a place where we are metamorphed or metamorphosized. Alright? Where we are changed from one degree of glory to another. Amen. Is a place where our soul experiences renewal. And the change happens on the account of light. Amen. The change happens on the account of what? Light. So the light of God is how our soul mature. Is how our soul change level. Is how our spirit enlarge. Is how our spirit increases strength. The light of God is how we take on strength in the spirit. We become spiritually strengthened by light. There are things that God cannot trust you with earlier, but he can trust you with now, because then you didn't have much strength as you do now. You have more spiritual strength now than before, because you have grown in light. You have grown in wisdom. You have grown in knowledge. You have grown in understanding. In other words, you are changed. Amen. There is a picture of, it is like a cartoon picture of different phases of butterfly. Right? I think I said this before. And then egg, larva, pupa, caterpillar, butterfly, right? So the larva was sent to the caterpillar. Is larva the same as caterpillar? The same thing, right? Thank you. So the pupa was sent to the larva, you are changed. The pupa was sent to the larva, you have changed. And larva said to him, we are supposed to. That was the reply. We are supposed to. I mean, that's a full message there. Right? That's a full message there. The pupa says to the larva, you know, the larva is the next stage of the pupa. So there are two of them. So the pupa says to the larva, you have changed. I'm sorry, looking at him that, how come you're like this? You're no longer like me. You have changed. And the larva says to him, we are supposed to. The church is a place where you are supposed to change. If you are not changing, it means you are not growing. What does it mean to change? Is your character better now than before? Is your way of life better now than before? Is your life more orderly now than before? Is your manner of speech and conversation better now than before? Then are there possibilities of God that you can easily do now than before? Are there graces that you can easily steward now than before? Are you changing? Are we changing? Is the place where we are changed? And let me tell you, prophecy is waiting for the changed version of us. Prophecy isn't waiting for your pupa. It's waiting for your butterfly. Hallelujah. The fulfillment of prophecy is waiting for your butterfly pattern. Is it okay for your butterfly version? It's waiting for the version of you that looks like what was prophesied. The inner version of you that looks like what was prophesied. That's what manifestation of prophecy is waiting for. So you are supposed to be changing in character, in way of life, in mannerism. You are supposed to be growing. You are supposed to look at yourself and say, I have changed. Is this me? I know myself a year ago. And amen. How many of us are changing? Hallelujah. That's a good testimony. It shows that we are preaching well in this church. It shows that the word is working. And it shows that the Holy Spirit is working. So Lord, we thank you for change. We thank you for transfiguration. Thank you for metamorphosis. It is this change that you make somebody tell you, you that used to be giving before. You have changed though. Look at how you are now so bold. Before you used to say yes to everything. Now you are saying, no, I can't take that. What happened to you? It's the word of God. The word of God. The word of God. The word of God. The word of God will kill timidity. Timid people don't fulfill destiny. Open your mouth. That's what the Bible says. That Pastor Daniel read it there. That scripture. Open your mouth. And NLT says, and I will see you with good things. People who are timid who don't open their mouth to talk, they don't go anywhere in life. Can I say something? The size of your destiny is the size of your mouth. Amen. I've got a big mouth. There was a book I bought for one of my darling people. The name of the book is Me and My Big Mouth. Hallelujah. But really, the size of your destiny is the size of your mouth. So the things you are too shy to say are the things you are too shy to have. The things you are too shy to declare are the things you are too shy to enter. Have a big mouth. But that's what the word of God does to you. It gives you boldness. Do you know why people are timid? Condemnation. Not even condemnation of sin. By themselves, they call themselves unqualified. They condemn themselves for those results. Condemnation. Inferiority complex. That's why. That's the root of timidity. Inferiority complex. Condemnation. A fear of not good enough. Despising oneself. That's why people are timid. That's the root of timidity. He said, hey, she's strong. That's how people are, my dear. Hallelujah. I don't know what for timidity is fear. So that scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, I have not given the spirit of fear. Other translation says the spirit of timidity. So no, I'm not afraid though. I'm just timid. That's the other side of the coin, darling. Amen. You are timid and you are fearful. Declare me, I'm not timid. That's what the gospel does to you. It gives you the ass of a lion. Because the righteous is as bold as a lion. You eat meat. You stop eating grass. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me say, you eat grass and eat meat on top. But you must eat meat. The reason I said that is that sheep feed on grass, lion feed on meat. And we are supposed to be like this. Because Jesus is the lion and the lamb. Lamb feed on grass, lion feed on meat. But strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use. So we must be mature enough to be able to handle meat. Meat of the word. 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 And that's what coming to church does to you. It serves you diet. Amen. You know, ministry gives a dietitian. The Holy Ghost is the cook. We serve the food on the plate of the gospel. Amen. But let me say, the food is the gospel that you serve on the plate of teaching and preaching. Is it okay? Yes. But the Holy Ghost is the one cooking the food, but ministry gifts are the dietitian, right? Okay, today, just like I was saying last week, you know, mineral salt, you eat mineral salt today, you eat carbohydrates next tomorrow, you eat protein, you get anything. So, ministry gifts are, amen. But really, coming to church changes us. The things you feel you are unqualified for, church tells you, you are way more qualified than it. Go for it. You come to church and you go back home bold. You come to church and you go back home courageous. You come to church and you go back home feeling like, I can take it. I can have it. I can have it. I can have it. You come to church and your faith is pumped. And your faith is strengthened. And your faith is energized. Because that's what church is supposed to do to you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. The Lord is good. All the time. Today is communion service, so let me add a point to it that speaks into the communion. The church is a place where you matter. 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 There is nobody who does not matter in the church. Amen. There is, if God has sent the local assembly and it is your place, know that you matter there. You matter there. This means God has designed you to be a part of the success of what God is doing in that house. And you must see yourself that way. Don't say, what do I even have to offer? No, you have a lot to offer. If you look within and ask the Holy Spirit, He will show you what He has said in you that you have to offer. You have a lot to offer. Because you matter in the local assembly that God has placed you. You matter, you matter, you matter, you matter. Hallelujah. And you are honored. You are honored. Declare, I am honored. I am honored. I am honored. Let me tell you this. There is no healthy local church that honors only pastors. A healthy local church honors everybody. What the Bible says it gives to pastors is double honor. Yeah, that's what the Bible says it gives to elders. Double honor. Give double honor to them that labor amongst you in preaching and teaching and prayers. That's what the Bible says. Double honor to pastors. But everybody deserves to be honored in church, even if they are not pastors. Even if they are not in the leadership. Everybody deserves to be honored. Amen. Why should we honor you? We honor you because we know you are a part of us. A part of us means you are a member part of us. Somebody say member part. Member part means we are connected intrinsically in the sense that we are not complete without you. We are not complete without. There was a time, you know, I studied in Lawrence. So there was a time that Rema Tapu is one of the big churches in Lawrence. So there was a time that Rema Tapu did one big banner at Panker Roundabout. No. The one I'm talking about, the one I saw that was the pastor. That GTB Bank, Panker Junction now. That GTB, Panker, many Lawrence people here, glory to God. So they did a big banner, and then they wrote, church is not complete without you. But they wrote the church without you, letter U. Is that okay? They wrote C-H-U, they wrote C-H-I-C-H. It's not complete without Y-O-U. So it's just when you see people, like, I mean, that's something. that's intelligent, actually. That was intelligent. But it just stuck with me. The image stuck with me. So I just write it down. That really, church is not complete without you. This doesn't mean to see yourself as indispensable, but it means to see yourself as a member part, as important. You are important to what God is doing in this local assembly. You are so important that if you don't do your work and if you don't fit into the place God has set you to walk and drag, you are that important. Is that okay? You are that important that if you don't grow in the place where God, you know that the person that God set you in a place where you are not growing there. Amen. So you can be appointed to lead in a place, but you are not growing in your role. So on the account of the fact that you are not growing, the work is lagging behind. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, thank you. Please, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Fast, somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. I'm okay. God bless you. And God has set some in the church. Declare, God has set me in the church. It mentions certain places of setting there, but that's not all. There are more things, there are more places in the church that are set people that are not mentioned there. Paul couldn't have exhausted the list anyway, also. Right? But I need you to know that God has set you in the church. You need to discern where God has set you, fit into it, and grow into it. If God has set you in the music arm, grow in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Grow in the singing, grow in songwriting, grow in leading songs, practice consistency. Amen. Grow in singing better,
own your voice. Become one with your sound. Grow in it. Because if you are not growing, and every other member part are growing, soon enough, the body will look unhealthy.
Did you get my picture?
So imagine a body that is growing, but only the left hand is not growing. So the left hand looks 4 years, but the body is looking 16. Every member part is looking 16 years old, but the body is looking like 4 years old. Because the member part that God has set in that place is not growing. So every other person is growing, but that member part is not growing. So it makes the body feel unhealthy.
Amen.
This is to say, your growth matters to us. Please look at somebody and say, we need you to grow in the spirit. We need you to grow in faith. We need you to grow in the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need you to grow in the place that God has set you. Grow into it. Grow into it. Grow into it. Mature into your calling. Mature into your calling. Is this okay? Mature into your calling. Mature, mature. And let me tell you this. You don't need an office of appointment in church to grow into where God has set you. So we don't have to ordain you leader for you to take responsibility. That's what I meant. Is this okay? You don't have to be ordained a man of God to take responsibility of a man of God if that's where God has kept you. Take responsibility in the jurisdiction of your confines of grace and what is allowed, and grow in your calling.
Amen. Hallelujah. There are certain persons that I know that God is sent to us, or God has sent to us, that He will set them amongst us in the corner pillars that the mantle of evangelism is supposed to keep in the work. And they will come to me and say, sir, I feel in my spirit God is saying we're going to do a crusade in this place. And I say, okay, allow me to pray about it. And I go back to them and say, I have a release. Let's start for the crusade. Now the work is proceeding. Somebody can now think the crusade is my idea. In the grand plan, it's my authorization. But it wasn't my idea. It's the idea of someone that grew into his calling where God has set him. Is this okay? Yes. I can't be the one that is planning for music department, I'm planning for evangelism department, I'm planning for pastoral department, I'm planning for apostolic church, I'm planning for... You want to kill me? This is the reason for which everybody must grow in the place that God has set them. Growing means taking responsibility for the church. That's what it means to grow. Taking responsibility for the work, for the assembly, and knowing that you are an integral part of the advancement of this work. Amen. And like I said, you don't need to be ordained apostle to do that. You just need to be responsible enough and to grow in the place you deserve that God has set you. Are we blessed? Hallelujah. So today we are eating the communion, discerning one another correctly.